Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready? Mississippi on this Monday, February the 15th. I hope all of you who celebrate such things as Valentine's Day, well, I hope you all had a very loving weekend, very happy weekend, Cupid came and went once again in all our lives yesterday. Dave, any special Valentine's celebration that you had yesterday with your wife? I certainly hope it was with your wife.
Oh, yeah. We had a relaxing day yesterday, and she of course got her chocolates and a Valentine's Day card, and heading up into the evening, our show, The Walking Dead mid-season premiere, came on last night, so
I saw you started a thread on The Walking Dead on the board. I have to confess, I've never watched that show ever.
Oh, if you ever do, David, you'll get highly addicted to it. And to me, it's not really a fascination with zombies because the show doesn't ever mention the word zombie. I guess it's just more along their survival. You want to see, you know, what they're going to do next. And if you read some of the messages on the board last night between me and some of
the
subscribers.
I stayed away from the zombie thread.
We were all replying back how intense of an episode it was. Last night was probably the season is in its fifth season, so it was probably the most intense episode ever in the series. So, it was a pretty exciting episode.
All right. Well, now that we've got the Valentine's and Walking Zombie deal out of the way, now let me ask you this. Did they have a Valentine's theme to the Walking Zombie show last night? I mean, was there like some broken hearts woven into the storyline?
No, well, not Valentine related, but if you're talking about broken hearts, yeah, I don't want to be a spoiler if anybody's listening to it and hadn't seen last night's episode yet, but there's definitely some heartbreaking moments in that episode.
Well, okay, spoiler alert there, in case anybody is planning on Netflixing the Walking Dead zombie Valentine people episode today. I'm sure it's a good show. I haven't found the time to find a way to integrate it into my weekly schedule as of yet. But, you know, there's no good segue from talking about zombies to talking about recruiting. But anyway, Ole Miss was a trio of big-time visitors on their campus this past weekend. A couple of offensive linemen. One of them, their top offensive line target in the 2017 class, that being Trey Smith of Jackson University School in Jackson, Tennessee. The other being Ben Brown, I guess, for lack of a better phrase, a potential triple legacy player for the Rebels if Ole Miss ever decides to offer. We'll talk about both of those young men during today's podcast. Starting off with Trey Smith, though. You know, Trey Smith, I saw some banner on the board last night about, hey, where's our Greg Little target in this 2017 class? Well, this guy is it. Trey Smith is it. Listen, invited to the opening as a junior, before his junior season, invited to go out to Oregon and compete with the best players in the nation. He's a four-star right now. Wouldn't surprise me with a couple of twists and turns if Trey Smith got to five-star status. Everybody in the nation wants him. Very, very fine young man, and I've known him for a while. And I mentioned a little bit of this on the Rebel Rise yesterday, but the first time I ever saw Trey Smith, he was 14 years old. He had no offers, and nobody in the country knew who he was. And I'm standing outside the IPF covering an Ole Miss summer camp, and I see this kid standing in a line of about 250 kids, and I'm looking at him, and I'm going, man, this kid's a player. Who is he? So I approach him, and he tells me who he is and introduces himself. And he was standing there with his mom, who has since passed away. And I got into a very lengthy conversation with him. And, you know, I'd never seen Trey camp or play a game of football or anything like that up to that period of time. But I watched him at that Ole Miss Elite camp that day. And he was certainly the most impressive 14-year-old there. And the Rebels thought so as well, as they offered him. And that was his very first offer from Ole Miss. And since that time, you know, Ole Miss has really done a great job recruiting Trey. I talked to him Saturday night after he left campus, and he mentioned to the effect of just how close he's grown to that Ole Miss squad. So, you know, that's your guy. That's your number one target, Dave, in this 2017 cycle on the offensive line for Ole Miss.
Yeah, Trey, like you said, he's a very impressive. And, you know, you mentioned about, you know, who's the next Greg Little. Well, you know, if Ole Miss can, you know, heading National Signing Day is a long ways away, but somehow pull in Trey Smith, that would be so huge to the recruiting. Because if you look back, Greg Little, you know, he is the essential replacement for Laramie Tunsil, and it took all the way through, you know, Laramie Tunsil's full career to get on, you know, for Greg Little to step into the pitcher, you know, for his replacement to step into the pitcher. So, you know, with Little now coming into on campus in the fall, you know, his expectations come in could be seemingly pretty high. You know, if Ole Miss were to land Trey Smith, well, here is one of the nation's top offensive tackles in the country who has plenty of time to sit there, you know, and develop. And, you know, once Greg Little, you know, moves through the program, then you have a very, you know, established left tackle. So, you know, it's very huge, you know, for Ole Miss to land a top offensive tackle in this class, in my opinion, you know, for that simple reason, to get somebody, you know, in there with time to develop.
Ole Miss is going to have to battle Tennessee, Alabama. Notre Dame's a little bit in it for Trey Smith, I believe. But I do think that early relationship could very well pay dividends off for the Rebels and Trey Smith. But that's your guy. That's that blue chip red letter guy in this 2017 class, as far as the offensive line goes, that Ole Miss is desperately wanting to get the signature of. Now, you know, a little bit of banner on the board yesterday as well about how many offensive linemen Ole Miss will take in this class. And I'm telling you, what I'm hearing right now is the number is three. Now, that could change. Could certainly change, because anybody that tells you right now, particularly with all of the outside rhetoric going on around the Ole Miss program and the NCAA and possible scholarship reductions, how many Ole Miss is going to take in totality in this 2017 class? Well, they're just blowing you a line of smoke, because that number right now is just so volatile as to how many will be in the 17 class. It's hard to get a good grasp on that. But Ole Miss, we do know, took six offensive linemen in the 2016 class. They're not going to take five or six in the 17 class. The numbers just won't make sense to do that. What I'm hearing right now, most likely, is two tackles and an interior lineman in this 2017 class. And, of course, a couple of those interior guys have already been identified that Ole Miss really likes a lot. One being Ben Brown from St. Al, who was here over the weekend. And, Dave, you had an opportunity to see Ben camp, as did I, at the Southern Elite Combine and the Ole Miss Elite Camp over the summer. Your quick thoughts on Ben Brown.
Oh, well, you know, he's obviously developed over the years, and, you know, he has good feet, and, you know, Ole Miss has talked to him about, you know, possibly being that interior guy, and, you know, he definitely shows it, and he's definitely got that upper body strength, you know, and as you mentioned in the opening of the introduction about him, that, you know, he is an Ole Miss legacy, a long line of you know, history of family ties with Ole Miss. And, you know, if Ole Miss does offer in the near future, I see it as, you know, a huge lean for Ole Miss, if not a commitment just soon right after that offer.
And there are a lot of Rebel fans out there who are like, well, hurry up already and offer Ben Brown. He's an in-state kid, as we've mentioned. He's a legacy. He's certainly a very, very good football player. I think he's a top offensive lineman in the state of Mississippi for this 2017 class. I haven't seen anybody out there that's any better at this point. But here's your deal right there. Yeah, you know, if you're only going to take two or three, I think three, then you have to be selective in the process, and you've got to know that you're bringing in exactly who it is you need to bring in, as much as it is who you want to bring in, it's more so who you need to bring in. And, you know, I think that's why you haven't really seen the interior offers go out to, say, a Ben Brown or another kid who – I think certainly has some leanings towards Ole Miss, and that's 2017 Shawnee, Oklahoma lineman Creed Humphrey. Creed, of course, and you're going Oklahoma. I mean, what's his interest in Ole Miss? Well, he's been coming to Ole Miss now for about 3 years. He's been camping at Ole Miss, taking unofficial visits. He's a frequent flyer in the Southern Elite Combine here in Oxford as well, and he's got a little affinity built up for the Rebels. Humphrey is blowing up right now as we speak. He has gotten 5 offers in the last 3 weeks, the most recent coming Friday night when Vanderbilt pulled the trigger on him. So that first SEC offer for Humphrey. I think he'll be back on the Ole Miss campus for a visit this spring as the Rebels continue to evaluate their options on the inside. But two of those two guys right there, keep your eye on, you know, for potential Ole Miss offers in the coming months or so. I don't know that it'll happen quickly, but it could. But those are two interior linemen to watch moving forward. And don't be surprised if Ben Brown, who right now he has offers from Southern Miss and Louisiana Tech, I'm hearing he's going to add an offer to his ledger very, very quickly from another SEC school that is not named Ole Miss, nor is it Mississippi State. So keep your eyes peeled for that, as that news could happen as early as today, as I understand it. And maybe that kind of ups the ante with Brown and Ole Miss if that, in fact, does happen. So lots of interesting things going on. 4-star McCalla, Alabama athlete Malcolm Askew, also on the campus this weekend visiting Ole Miss. And, Dave, I know you've talked to Malcolm before. Kind of set the stage right now where things stand with Ole Miss and Askew.
Well, you know, it's good for them to you know, get that visit from him. Anytime you get a prospect on campus, it's never a negative. It's always a plus. However, if you're, you know, going by the crystal ball, currently Georgia is the heavy favorite. As well as Alabama, excuse me, and then Georgia has come into the mix. There's even been some talk of Tennessee. Those are going to be those three SEC schools that, you know, Ole Miss is really out there battling against. But he is a prospect. He's an athlete, a 4-star athlete, don't have the figures right in front of me, but he's somewhere in between the range of rated the 15th to 10th athlete in the country right now by the 247 composite rating. But his offer sheet is near endless. I mean, he's got well over 30 offers across the country. He could pretty much choose anywhere in the country where he wants to play. Highly talented athlete, and, you know, it's good for Ole Miss to have that connection with him and, you know, hopefully in the near future get him back on campus again, whether it's another unofficial visit during the summer or official visit on down the road as you know, the recruiting process gets a little bit more intense heading into National Signing Day.
Another very important visit in regards to this 2017 class will take place this week as 2017 Calabasas, California quarterback Tristan Jebbia will visit Ole Miss on Friday. His first time ever to visit Ole Miss, which is kind of hard to believe considering his father, Rich Jebbia, was a standout tight end for the Rebels back in the late 1980s. But they live on the West Coast, so not a lot of opportunity on Saturdays in the fall to be back in Mississippi. But Tristan got the Ole Miss offer a couple of weeks ago, and Werner went out, watched him throw, was impressed with the young man. Werner's not going to offer a quarterback that he hasn't seen throw in person, by the way. So Jebbia comes in here. He's going to visit West Virginia on Wednesday and then make his way back west and be in Oxford on Friday. And that'll be something interesting to monitor right there because the trend right now, the vibe is that Nebraska jumped out early in the lead for Tristan Jebbia, who, by the way, is the number 7 rated pro-style passer in the nation, according to the industry-generated 247 Sports Composite Index. And you know, if you're Ole Miss and you just brought in Shea Patterson, the nation's number 1 quarterback, Jebbia has to almost be like a dream scenario. You've got an Ole Miss legacy player with connections to the school, Dave, and I know you've talked to Tristan. What's your feel after speaking with Tristan?
Well, you know, I believe Ole Miss is definitely in it, and Ole Miss feels good where they stand because of the family ties. You know, both his father and mother went to Ole Miss. You mentioned Nebraska. I believe Nebraska feels that they're in it because they have a connection pipeline there with, from what I've read into, with some coaching staff there at Calabasas. So Nebraska feels in it for not only Jebbia, but several highly rated prospects out there in that high school. But as far as Jebbia goes with Ole Miss, like I mentioned in previous podcasts, we brought it up, David. This visit is very important because, as you mentioned, you know, it will be his first ever visit to Ole Miss, and not a lot of opportunities out there, you know, considering he's, you know, 17 years old and hasn't, you know, been to Ole Miss up to this point. You know, there's not going to be a lot of opportunities out there. And as we've reported first on Rebels 247, Jebbia is approaching, possibly announcing as soon as early April. That's what he told me on the phone. So if you look at that time frame from in between now and April, this visit is very important. It's one to definitely watch.
Well, Jebbia will be arriving in Oxford on Friday, and of course we're going to keep our eyes peeled on that the entire time. And you know, obviously he's not going to roll into town and go, "Hey, this is pretty cool. I've committed." Like you said, he's alluded that he may be looking at a springtime decision, but certainly we'll want to get his response upon his departure from Ole Miss, and you know, start to see if the fact that his dad played here, his dad, if that'll have any influence over him. We've seen it work both ways. Obviously, Nigel Knott's father played here. That didn't seem to matter very much to him in his decision. And that may not be totally fair to Nigel, certainly his decision to make. But in the end, other factors trump the fact that Nigel Knott's father, David, played here at Ole Miss. But you look at a guy like DK Metcalf, and you know, that probably sealed the deal, the fact that his dad played at Ole Miss. So we'll just see how Javier handles the situation after he visits on Friday. Well, it's an abbreviated podcast on this rainy, gloomy Monday in Oxford. As I look out the window right now, and the rain stuff is coming down and starting to puddle up outside. But all you, please stay safe out there. Stay warm. There's a chill in the air. And stay glued on 247 as we bring you all the latest in Ole Miss football team and recruiting news. So for Dave Bevan, I'm David Johnson for 247 Sports. And as always, Adi Tadi.